Hello.
Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome everyone to tonight's Blog Talk Radio broadcast. My name is Cassandra Jove, the presenter of tonight's broadcast, which is hosted by Philip Singa Ajistafe. Tonight's discussion is One Day the Door Will Close. Today's speaker is Pastor David Abielden. To avoid any background interference, we ask that you please put your phones on mute while listening. May the Lord bless his ministry. Thank you.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We bless you at this moment. We give you praises. We give you adoration. We thank you for reminding us again that you are coming quickly. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, it's time to hear your word. I pray that you use me mightily for this word at this moment, that every ear that's listening to you will be able to come unto you when you shall come. Father, we thank you, we bless you. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The topic today is One Day the Door Will Close. One day the door will close. Which door are we talking about? The door of salvation. Genesis 7 verse 16, clear this. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God has commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the Lord shut him in. If you have locked yourself out of your car in a freezing weather, then you will know how intense it was. That is what I'm talking about at this time. Jesus explained to his disciples the signs of the end of time. In Matthew 24, I will read from verse 36 to 39. Matthew 24, 36 to 39.
Yeah.
But of that day and hour knows no man, know not the angels of heaven, my Father only. As the day of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus refers to Noah because he had many comparisons to his coming. And the first place we want to look at is verse 36. Verse 36. Jesus makes it clear that God is the only one who knows the exact date and time of his coming. No other person knows. And even Jesus Christ himself, he doesn't know the time that he is coming to this world. No, the angels, only God that know the time that is coming. Amen. The first comparison is that Jesus says it will come as a surprise. Jesus will come as a surprise. These people will be going about their business just as when the waters came, so will Jesus and the people won't be ready. See verse 38 of that chapter read. You will see there that for us in the day that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Go about their business, doing what they are doing. You are not ready. See the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Continually. All the time. Instead of him to repent, he continued in the evil doing. Verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it beat him. God saw the behavior of human being on earth. What we are doing that was wrong. Instead of us to go away or go out of it, we continue doing the wrong thing.
What goes wrong?
It gives God without this. The reason man has become so evil is that he has turned from God. Man has turned away from God, doing about his own principle, his own policy. We can see today how people have turned away from God, killing innocent people. Even the government, they have taken God from school. No devotion, no prayer. I remember during my days in primary and secondary school, we always have our devotion in the morning. We pray before we go to the classroom. And then you will know that God is in our midst. But this day, nothing like that. So also same-sex marriage is being exalted in the country instead of exalting Almighty God. God says in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Brethren, someone sent me an email last week, Wednesday. The Prime Minister of Australia, Julia Gillard, he said, most Australians, I quote, most Australians believe in God. This is not Christian, right-wing, political push, but a fact, because Christian men and women on Christian principles founded this nation. And this is clearly documented. It is certainly appropriate to display it on the walls of our schools. If God offends you, then you suggest you consider another part of the world as your new home, because God is part of our culture. We will accept your belief and will not question why. All we ask is that you accept ours and live in harmony and peacefully enjoyment with us. This is our country, our land, our lifestyle. And we will allow you every opportunity to enjoy all this. But once you are done complaining, whining, and griping about our flag, our pledge, our Christian beliefs, or our way of life, I highly encourage you to take advantage of one other great Australian freedom, the right to live. If you aren't happy here, then leave. We didn't force you to come here. You asked to be here, so accept the country you accepted. Unquote. This is what the Prime Minister of Australia said some days ago through the air. And if a country can stand on that, we also must know that God is the Alpha and Omega of our life. We should not forget Him. We should hold firm to Him, because the sun is coming back to take us home at any time. and we must be ready to go with him. God was not sorry because he made man, but he was grieved because man turned away from him. We all know that God's love is unconditional. And even though he loves us, it hurts him to see people go against him. Let's read the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 13 to 22. Genesis chapter 6, 13 to the last verse. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make you an ark of God's part, wood. Rooms shall you make in the ark, and shall pitch it inside and outside with pitch. And this is the fashion which you should make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall you make to the ark, and in a cubit shall you finish it above. And the door of the ark shall you set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall you make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, under everything that is in the earth shall die, but with you will I establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall you bring into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping things of the earth after its kind. Two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive, and take you to you of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to you, and it shall be for food for you and for them." Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him to do. So did he. This is the word of God to Noah in those days. And God asked him to do something, and that is what we just said now. That is to build a big boat, a huge one. Let's see the warning. The warning in that verse, those verses that I read. "I will destroy them." Verse 13. God said, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh." Notice again in verse 17. "For behold, I will bring a flood to destroy all flesh." You will see that God is going, repeating those things that he's going to do. He's giving us warning. It is not warning that he's given one day. No. This warning from God is not what might happen if man does not turn around and do better. Certain, determined event to take place. And during stormy weather, there will be a tornado watch and a tornado warning. Now, let's see the difference between the tornado warning and tornado watch. A watch means condition arrived for the possibility of a tornado. And we can see verse 11 and 12. You will note that wickedness and violence is repeated there. And this is a watch. conditions are ripe for the judgment of God. The conditions are ripe for the judgment of God. Now let's see the warning now. A warning means a tornado has been spotted and you need to take cover now. A tornado has been spotted and you need to take cover now. And this is God's Lord warning. I have determined to make an end of all flesh. You can see the warning of God now. It is not a sudden warning. God has put the word out for a long time. And God has been warning us about this, that it's going to destroy the world with flood. If you see the book of Genesis chapter 6 verse 3, you will see, yet his days shall be 120 years. That is, God has been warning the people of God for a good 120 years that he is going to destroy this world. God did not make the announcement of a global flood in 5 minutes. No, it doesn't make it 5 minutes. Over 120 years, the warning goes out for a long period of time. A long period of time. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all might come to repentance. All might come to repentance. To 2 Peter 3, 9. Now, let's see the portion we just read. When the boat, the ark that God asked him to build, Noah preached to people to turn to God. They did not him. When Noah was building the huge boats on dry land, people laughed at him. They mock him because people don't believe that him will happen in their lifetime. So they don't worry about getting ready for it at all. They were laughing at Noah building an ark on a dry land. And it's never done. Any boat that is going to be built, they do build it near the water so that they can put it in the water to test. But for Noah's case, he built this on the dry land. And God gave Noah specific instruction on what he wanted him to do. Exact measurement of the ark, the type of material to use, how to make it waterproof, and what he wanted inside the ark. This is what I just read to you now. You see, you might be thinking that God will not right. But guess what? That is the right way before him. We are not to judge him and we are not to direct him. He is our creator. He created us. So he has right to direct us and to tell us what to do. It is for us to listen to what he is saying. Don't use your own idea, your own method. And this way I'm doing it. If the preacher told you, do this or do that, take to his word.
Hello?
Take to his word, yes, and do what he asks you to do.
Bernie?
Forget about what others are doing.
I'm so sorry.
Amen?
Thank you. Bye.
In Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, if you see it, you will see there, Noah did everything just as God commanded. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded. Noah did not divert from God's instruction. He didn't think he had a better way to build the ark, or decide to live out of a few of the animals. He did it God's way and was saved. Brethren, God asked him to build the ark and leave only one window. That huge ark very mighty. If it is you, with your own knowledge, you will say, what could that be possible? There must be cause ventilation. Therefore, we have to open another window in the other side.
Hello?
First, one window. That is what I want.
Yes.
And he did according to what God asked him to do. Therefore, it is for us to listen to the word of God. It is for us to listen to the word, not to our own word. When God speaks, he means what he has said. It's not a man that lies. He will do what he has said.
Yeah.
And he accomplishes it. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis chapter 7, verse
6. You don't like to.
The Lord did. That is,
uh-huh.
The Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. That is, when the time comes for God to send flood, he shut Noah and the family. And guess what? When this type of thing happens, what do you think is going to happen? That means many people will be left behind. Many people will be left behind. Noah did everything just as God commanded. Noah did not divert from God's destruction. He didn't think he had a better way to build the ark or decide to leave out a few of the animals. He did it God's way and was saved. When God destroyed the door to the ark, it not only shut Noah and his family in, but it shut the rest of the people out. That means some people were shut out. And those people that were shut out didn't go nowhere. And those are the people that will be snatching their teeth forever. And those people that are in, they are in with God. And what are they doing? They will continue to sing forever. This is what God is trying to tell us. That is, when he comes, those that is alive that with him, he's going to take them to his window. And when we go to him, we will continue to be singing hallelujah forever. But when we are alive, we need to obey his instruction. We need to follow his direction. We need to do his will, commandment. Whatever he commands us to do, we must do it. This reminds me of what Jesus said in John 10:9. John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there any salvation in any other. But there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In John 2, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but who? By me. Amen. Also, Matthew confirmed it. Matthew 7. Verse 21 to 23. Jesus said, not every one that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is where? In heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then will I prophet, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Will this voice not come to us in the name of Jesus?
Amen.
Then, the end of time is at hand. End of time is at hand. Let us think our ways of life. Let us look back and see what we are doing that is wrong. Make correction. Our Lord is coming quickly, very soon. I don't know, you don't know either. But get yourself ready. Get yourself prepared. Do according to His will. Do not depart from it. And God will help us as we do this in the name of Jesus. In conclusion, brethren, in Christ alone we find the forgiveness of sins. In Christ alone we find a relationship with the Heavenly Father. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not only when Noah and his family protected from the judgment to come, but they were brought into a relationship of acceptance, a relationship of love, a relationship of peace. Brethren, are you ready to be accepted by the Almighty God? Are you ready to be loved, to have peace with the Almighty God? If so, it's never too late. Repent. Change your ways of life. Turn to God. He's ready to accept us at this moment. He's ready to bring us to His own bosom. And He's ready to be with us. Remember Adam in the Garden of Eden. God always go in, enjoy with him, pray, do everything. But one day, Adam was not in line with God's will. We find ourselves in this position. Brethren, one day, the door will close. One day, door will close. Let us pray. Our eternal Rock of Ages, we thank you, we bless you at this moment. We thank you for your word that has gone out to your people. We bless your holy name. We ask that you will root yourself in our life completely and you will walk in us at all times. You direct our footpath so that when you shall come, we'll be able to go with you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Father, because you are God. Thank you because you have done it again in our life. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you and be blessed.
I want to thank our speaker for such an enjoyable, inspirational discussion. Please show up to turn on April 15th. God bless you.
Thank you.